Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As he has done already for us since the beginning of this church year, the Lord's servant, the prophet Isaiah, will guide us through this Lenten season as well, especially on the Wednesday evenings of this season. We often hear this reading from Isaiah chapter 59 on the first day of Lent, either this reading or a reading from Jonah chapter 3, where Jonah preached repentance to the people of Nineveh, and they did repent, and God spared them from the destruction he had threatened. Well, Isaiah preaches repentance too. That's the theme, the focus of the traditional Lenten season, and why we continue to observe this season as we observe all the traditional seasons of the traditional church year. People think Lent is about fasting or giving something up or some other external human practice or invention, but it's really about repentance, taking our sins seriously so that we learn to take our Savior seriously, so that we then learn to take our sanctification seriously, so that we may live each day intentionally in willing and purposeful service to God and to our neighbor, all of which starts with devotion to God's Word and to the preaching of it. And so the prophet Isaiah leads us in making confession of our sins before God on this first day of Lent, even as he led the captive Israelites to make confession as they sat in captivity in Babylon. That was a necessary step for them before they would be ready for the deliverance that the Lord had promised from their captivity. Before they could be delivered from captivity, they had to own the sins that had led to their captivity in the first place. And so Isaiah leads a confession of sins. "For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us." That's how you make confession before God. With honesty, with humility, not saying, "I know I've done one really bad thing, but our transgressions are multiplied before you." Not offering up any excuses, not trying to justify yourself before God and explain to him why you had good reasons to rebel against his commandments. Not holding up all the good things you've done as if they somehow outweighed the bad. Not holding yourself up next to someone else and saying, "I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, you know I'm better than this guy." No, Isaiah says it right. "Our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." Transgressing means intentionally stepping over the line that God has set. God says, "Do this," and I say, "No, I don't think I will." God says, "Do not do that," and I say, "Yeah, I'm going to do that, no matter what you say." Iniquities are perversions of God's commandments, turning away from what God has commanded to what I want to do instead. The Israelites often did this with all Ten Commandments and with the civil and ceremonial law of Moses as well. They often ignored God's commandments and did what they wanted. Their society, the society of the people of God, was supposed to be governed by God's laws, but instead they became just as corrupt and godless as any secular society. Lying against the Lord, Isaiah says, claiming to be servants of the true God while living contrary to the word and commandments of that God and refusing to repent. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey, that is, a target. Justice, righteousness, truth, those things define who our God is. They were supposed to be the defining characteristics of the nation whose God was the Lord, the nation of Israel, both as a nation and as individuals within the nation. But justice, righteousness, and truth never fully described Israelite society in the Old Testament, and even less so by the time of the end, when God's patience had run out and he sent the Babylonian armies against them. Now, this same condemnation certainly applies to our society as well. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter, so truth fails. It's true, there is much injustice in our society and in our world. Who can really trust the justice system in any country anymore? There is much unrighteousness in our society, where we have come to disagree with God even about what things are righteous and what things are unrighteous, promoting unrighteousness with practically every TV show, every movie, every star, every ad, and most political policies. As for truth, people are perfectly content to pick and choose which parts of the Bible they will accept as true and which parts they just don't want to accept as true. Hardly anyone believes anymore that God's whole word is truth, even in the most basic things like gender and marriage or the murder of little children, much less the truth of salvation through faith alone in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even most who claim to be Christians don't live or believe in line with the Bible anymore, and yet they boast about how Christian they are. And then Isaiah says, he who departs from evil makes himself a target. That's true in this world of ours too. But Isaiah isn't preaching to the society out there. No, the ones being led by the prophet Isaiah to make confession are, first, the Israelites as the church of God on earth at that time. And now, it's all who claim to be part of the church of God on earth at this time. That is, you and I, and all who would call themselves Christians. This is where it's helpful to take out your small catechism. I know you don't need to dust it off. It doesn't have dust on it. You use it. But especially during this season, it's helpful to read through the Ten Commandments with their little explanations, slowly, thoughtfully. Instead of a Lenten fast, I'm going to suggest to you that during this Lenten season, in addition to making every effort to attend all of our services together, you actually take out your catechism at home and read through one of the six chief parts at least once each week for the 6 weeks of Lent, starting with the Ten Commandments. If you do, and if you do it honestly and humbly, then you will surely be able to confess with Isaiah, "For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them." Now maybe you're guilty of willful transgressions against God's law, which separate you from God's grace and salvation, in which case, repent, confess your sins before it's too late. Or maybe you've been living in daily contrition and repentance, and your sins are not the willful and stubborn kind, but the everyday sins of weakness and unintentional offenses that all Christians commit. As St. John writes in his first epistle, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's that forgiveness and cleansing that we seek. We don't confess our sins just to get things off our chests and feel better, or to have a little cathartic exercise in feeling bad about ourselves for a while. We confess our sins to God so that God may forgive them, remove them from our account, and so that we may mend our ways and strive not to offend God and our neighbor. In the rest of chapter 59, Isaiah holds out this sure hope for all the penitent. "Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." The Lord's solution to Israel's sins and iniquities and transgressions was to come and save them. There was no one else who could do it. They couldn't save themselves. No one else could come in and save them. They couldn't atone for their own sins or make intercession for themselves because they were all guilty of sin. How can a guilty person make intercession for other guilty persons? How can the unrighteous make intercession for the unrighteous? No, God devised his own solution. He would send his Son into human flesh. He would make atonement for our sins and transgressions and iniquities by suffering and dying on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous. He would make intercession for us on the basis of his sacrifice, a holy man pleading for unholy men. "Father, forgive them." It's this zeal of the Lord Jesus for our salvation that we focus on during this Lenten season, our Lord and Savior going into battle to save us from sin, death, and the devil. "According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay." Anyone who has opposed or oppressed God's people and has refused to repent will receive from the Lord Jesus not love, not acceptance, not salvation, but judgment fiery judgment. The enemies and adversaries of God who refuse to repent of their sins against God will be repaid according to their deeds, and that means with eternal condemnation. But God offers, while it's still called today, reconciliation to His enemies through the blood of His Son. Repent and believe in Him, God says, and I will no longer count your sins against you, since I've already counted them against my beloved Son. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why will people fear the name of the Lord? Both because of His just punishment against His enemies, and because of His mercy and goodness in providing salvation for all who believe. Now penitent believers have no need to fear any enemy, especially the enemies of sin, death, and the devil, because the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard when those enemies come in against us like a flood, the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. There is God's promise to send Christ the Redeemer to Zion, that is, to His church. But again, He's not coming to rescue those who wish to remain in their sins and transgressions. He's coming to those who turn from them, first in their hearts through repentance, and then in their lives by putting to death the deeds of the flesh and by walking according to the new man in righteousness and holiness of life. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, Isaiah, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. And here we are celebrating the fact that God has kept this unlikely promise. He preserved Isaiah's words of warning and comfort for the Jews all the way up until their captivity in Babylon, through their captivity, and through the end of their captivity. And He has preserved the same words for us for thousands of years more, so that they might reach even us in these last days. And He'll continue to preserve His word all the way up until the end of the world, when He brings about our final deliverance from every enemy and from every evil. God, for His part, will continue to provide His word and everything necessary for your salvation. As for you, continue to use His word and put it into practice. May this Lenten season provide you with just such an opportunity to hear God's word and ponder it, to repent of your sins and be comforted by the length to which your God has gone to save you from them, to turn away from transgression, and to live a life devoted to keeping God's commandments. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.